who doesn't have the best taste in the world. I'm trying, God. And I finally laid it down. I said, I am so tired of this. I'm taking all the rugs back. I took the rugs back. I said, and I've had it. I don't even care if we get a rug or if we don't get a rug. I've had it. I've wasted too much time. I've leaned on my own understanding. Out of nowhere, I walk in the store, not even looking for a rug. I find two rugs instead of one rug, to which I'm keeping them both because they're really nice. And it was just like in a 10-minute thing. Then I start beating myself up. Should I keep both? I'm like, stop. God double blessed you. The price was unbelievably great. It doesn't matter if somebody on Facebook doesn't like it. I didn't ask them if they liked it. Okay, you know, it's like, and the Lord's just dealing with me like, what do you want? I don't care. You can put a purple rug down. So, well, you're supposed to submit to your husband. We might have a little trouble on that. You know, but I'm just saying, he cares about everything that steals your time. He cares about everything that steals your peace. He cares about everything. We've got to get free from the religious thinking that God doesn't care about that. It's too small. Therefore, it's my burden. It's my problem. You talk about an overprotective dad. You talk about a God who wants to be in control. But he gives us freedom because he loves us. But he really doesn't care if I have a rug or not. I don't believe the angel's up there going, oh, what rug should she get? Oh, what rug should she get? You know, he doesn't care, but I care because I want the house to look nice because he gave it to me. But I found in 10 minutes what I had searched for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, whatever thing it is, he has the wisdom. He knows the connections. He has everything that you need. Nothing is worth stealing your peace. Nothing is worth interrupting relationships in your life. Nothing is worth taking away from your time with God. Amen? We need him now more than ever. The world's going to get more busy, not less busy. The Bible talks about in the end days, people are going to actually have diseases and actually just die from fear, anxiety. Because God knew how evil and crazy and hectic these last days are going to be. Amen? But he says, I'm your resting place. Acknowledge me in this. Acknowledge me in this. So I feel like the Lord's behind somebody going, come on, would you just acknowledge me? I'll show you how to do this. Acknowledge me in this. Acknowledge me in this. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Quit thinking I can handle this without you, God. Maybe you could handle some of the natural things without God, right? But why? When you can have God as your best friend, when you can have God as your advisor, when you can have God as this awesome counselor, when you can have God, what an awesome good news privilege that I can have God, the smartest being there will ever be, as someone who will talk to me and direct me and show me, who cares that much. God wants us this morning to break the lie that he doesn't care about everyday things. Yes, he does. Bible says, don't be worldly. He says, women, be busy at home. That seems worldly if we want to think worldly means activity. Worldly is about the spirit in the of evil over the world. That's worldly. Worldly is addictions. Worldly is perversions. Worldly is going after money as their source instead of being led of God. No, worldly is where the enemy is in charge of ordering your steps. God wants to be concerned with everything that concerns you. If it doesn't concern you, and it should, and it doesn't need to, fine. If it doesn't concern you and it should, you need some inner healing. Maybe some deliverance. Because he's very clear in his word how he wants the home to be. He's very clear in his word how we should be treating each other. All those things should concern us. Sometimes we put up walls so they don't. But God wants to help you there. God will help you through everything. God will walk you through everything. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to come against you. He's for you, not against you. He's your best friend. God, Jesus Christ died so that he could have relationship with you and so that his Father could have relationship with you and so that Holy Spirit can live inside of you. It doesn't get any better than that. God himself lives inside of me and I'm trying to figure things out. That's kind of silly. Yes, he will use what I've studied. Yes, he will use my mind. And you know, he's cool with all that. He's cool with all that. He'll use your gifts. He'll use everything you've done. for you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Healing shall be to your navel and marrow to your bones. I remember using that scripture, lean not on my own understanding, when my son was so sick and he had very little bone marrow. And it was such a desperate time. And God gave me this scripture again years later. This is like one of those scriptures he keeps bringing to my life. And years later, when Mitchell was so sick, God gave me the scripture again. I said, lean not on my own understanding. Trust in the Lord. I said, Lord, if I listen to the doctor reports, I will just go nuts. I will be tormented. I won't be able to handle it. The doctor reports were terrible for years. But I had to sit there and I had to make myself lean not on my own understanding. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I'm not leaning on the doctor's understanding. I'm trusting in the Lord. Teach me your ways, God. Hold my hand. Walk me through. Teach me what to do. And then the scripture is right there after that, that he will make his bone marrow. He will give him bone marrow. He'll take care of that. He'll put marrow to his bones. Healing's going to come. I begin to declare that. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with the things he's given you. Honor the Lord in your tithing. Honor the Lord in offering. Honor the Lord with opening your house. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord. He's so worthy to be honored. He's so worthy to be praised. There's so much just in Proverbs 3. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing in Proverbs 3 that God talks about, if you do this, there's healing. If you do this, then I will increase you. If you honor me in everything, if you can't honor God with your substance, you're still serving the spirit of the world. You're still serving mammon. You're still afraid. You're still trying to control. God says, come on, guys. I'm big. I'm God. I can handle it. Come on. He's real. He can handle your thing. He can handle your healing need. He can handle your financial need. He can handle your situations where you don't understand what's going on. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. And he promises, if you honor him with your substance, with whatever comes into you, you honor him. The first fruits of your increase, we did that teaching from Jesse Duplantis. This is another offering. This is like if you get a raise, then the very first time you get that raise, you give an additional offering on that raise. You don't have to do it every time. You tithe after that, but you just say, you know, Lord, I recognize you gave me this promotion. I'm giving this in honor of that. I'm giving this in honor of that. I'm giving this in honor of that increase you gave. It's like always recognizing God as your source, always thanking him, having the heart that honors God for everything in your life, honors God, not afraid, not serving the world, not serving mammon, but honoring God. He wants to flip us into this realm where he really is God. Amen. He wants us to have that peace that passes understanding. I know it doesn't make sense if I'm living down here below the God line. But if I get up here where he's at, it's like, oh, this is saying you're bigger than this. This is saying you're the one who gets promotion. This is saying you're the one who keeps the job. You're the one who stops the layoff. You're the one who takes care of things. You're the one who gets things on discount and on sale. You're the one who handles this. You're the one who keeps us out of the emergency room. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. Can we start living with the revelation that he's the one? He's the one true God. And he lives inside of us if we're born again. And he wants to make a way where there seems to be no way. His plan is to prosper us, not hurt us. He goes on. He says, I'm going to fill all your barns with plenty. When your barns get full, start bringing the stuff out to our giveaway each year so that you don't look like a hoarder. Once you start giving stuff away, watch out because it comes multiplied because that's the laws of God. But that's okay because guess what? We can give out more. We can give out more. We can give out more. Same thing happens with finances. BFA gives out money. We do. I don't even know. I can't even tell you how much. But all I know is it keeps coming. It's ridiculously supernatural how much finances God brings in this place. And I thank him for it. And all I want is more to do more, to really fund that house in the Philippines, that headquarters that Neela wants to place there, to really build that building, to have an orphanage, whoa, in the Philippines, where someone, maybe Kara, can go and oversee it. To really, we got to break free, to quit living for us in such a little itty-bitty way and then end up before the Lord with really nothing to put down before him because we couldn't trust him. Trust him. Acknowledge him. believe in him and give, honor him. When you do tithe or when you give offerings, you're actually, I realize I'm honoring God. That's what he says. Honor me with this. Honor me with this. He's like, am I worthy of your honor? Am I worthy to be esteemed by you? Do you know me enough to say I honor you, I esteem you? He wants our barns filled with plenty. He wants us to have new wine. He wants us full of joy. He wants everything to be abundant, overflowing. My son and daughter, do not reject the chastening of the Lord. Do not loathe his corrections. Sometimes we get angry when there's the chastening and the loathing. Let me say this. I believe the enemy is just able to get at us when we're not walking where we're supposed to be walking, when we're not hidden in Christ. And that is set up as a chastening of the Lord, because the Lord knows the minute you get this and you cry out and you come crumbling back to me and you say, God, help me. I'm not doing this myself anymore. He's like right there to say, okay, come on. And then he destroys the enemy and takes what was meant for evil and turns it to good. When the Lord says no, when the door doesn't open, I'm thinking of Allison in the airport after saving up all her money. Hey, this is a young kid working hard just to get by and gets her own chunk of money out there and puts it in to get her airline ticket. Everything's going hunky-dory. And all of a sudden, really for a ridiculous reason, they don't let her on the plane to finish her trip to the Philippines. And she freaks out. It's like, whoa. What's going on? Well, part of that, I believe, is the chase of the Lord going, you're being tested. Look how you're freaking out instead of praying. Look how you're not taking thought. Look what you're... And he loves that because he's like showing her, lean not on your own understanding. You're going to learn to trust me, girl, because this is just a little tiny bit of the traveling you're going to do. This is just a little tiny thing, because she could have come back and said, forget it, God. $800, a truckload of money. I just flushed it down the toilet. I was embarrassed. I didn't get to get on the plane, and this is crazy, and blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you about our awesome God. He knows how down she's feeling. He knows she's receiving chastening, but also the devil's laughing. And the Lord looks at it and he goes, now, are you going to let me turn this to good, or are you going to let the devil cause you to be bitter? Which is it? Every situation, you have choice A or choice B. A, God, you said all things work together for good to those who loved you and are called to your purpose. I love you. I'm called to your purpose. How are you going to fix this? So I say, how are you going to fix this? Because he loves to show you how. It could take years before you see it. But what's the attitude heart? Or are you going to say, forget it. I've done all I can. I've done better than most. Why do I come? And let bitterness in that will start to turn you against God and open the way for the enemy. The very enemy who attacks, you then give him your heart. It says, Lord, help me with this. Help me with this. And so I love the Lord, though, because the Lord starts to think of people praying and believing. And he knows the enemy is attacking Allison. He knows the enemy's attacking, saying, why did you waste all that money? And I don't even want you to go, and blah, 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 blah. And what's going on? And so she gets off the plane. And here we are in another country, Facebook and people and everything else. I'm just saying the faithfulness of God. And without even trying, people have balloons and banners and presents and the whole, I don't know, 10 or so people are at the airport. It shocks her. Because here she's all beat up by the devil saying, what happened? What's going on? This is terrible. Questioning, you know, does anybody care what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And she looks up and there's this whole little group having a party because welcoming her and hugging her and saying, this has got to hurt. We're so proud of you that you put that money together. And God really wanted her to know that she fit in with the younger people at BFA, because the devil had lied to her about that. He's got a bigger scheme. He's got a bigger plan. He's got something greater, because he knows she'll go to the Philippines. She'll go to the nations if she passes this test, if she handles this correction, if she lets me do a work in her to mature her. Amen? He's always working on our behalf, you guys. He's always working on our behalf. Always. He's always for us. He's never against us. He can take anything that comes our way and turn it around. That's my protection. He doesn't always stop it. Because there are spiritual laws. There's a lot of things that's in the picture. Amen? It's real. It's real warfare. It's not a game. It's not up to God who wins or loses. It's up to us. It's up to us if we win or lose. It's not up to God. If it was up to God, we'd win every time. Amen? How many know there are Christians who don't win every time? How many know there's Christians who are suicidal and killed themselves? There's Christians who are alcoholics. There's Christians who've gone back to the ways of the world. Obviously, God doesn't win every time. Because he's not the one being tested. We are. God himself could win every time. Well, God says, look, when you get through this chastening, this correction, what's going on? What's changing you? What's revealing things to you? Are you going to look to me? Or are you going to believe the enemy? Are you going to believe lies about me? What is it that you're choosing to do? And he says, if you trust in me, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge me. I will make the path straight. If you honor me, I'm telling you guys, we have a God. We have to get over being like the world thinking, this can't be fixed. There is nothing that God of the universe can't fix. And let me tell you what, if he fixes it, it's going to be better than it could have ever been before. It's going to be better than anything you think you can run out and get on your own. It's going to be stop you. God wants to stop you from running further away from him. He wants to stop you from getting out of his will. Because he loves you. Not because he's trying to torment you and punish you and keep you in situations you don't want to be in. He wants to turn everything to good. He wants to turn everything to good. So don't reject the chastening of the Lord and do not loathe his corrections. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. This is Bible. How many in here feel really loved all of a sudden? Some of you are extremely loved. Some of you are loved so much you just don't even know you could be so loved. God's like, I'm not going to let you stay like you are. I'm not going to let you stay like you are. God has set up everything based, I believe, on spiritual law, which includes the enemy. The enemy knows who he can hit and how he can hit. You say, how is that love? Because God knows if you run to me, I will take care of it. I'm trying to get you to run to me. God wants to win us with his goodness, but how many know sometimes we're so hard-headed, sometimes we're so stiff-necked, sometimes we want to do things our own way, sometimes we have idols we don't even know about, that he doesn't always win us with his goodness. Most of the most powerful testimonies is where God did not win them with his goodness. He won them with the correction that made them fall on their face and cry out to God. Now, my prayer would be that he could always win us with his goodness. Amen? But how many know he's going to win us with his goodness or with his correction? And he won't stop. He won't stop going after you. He won't stop drawing you. He won't stop loving you no matter what. Some people, you know, like Jacob, some of you got to struggle and struggle and struggle with God. And God's just going, would you yield? Would you just give up being in charge and trust me? That's not a failure. That's the beginning of peace. That's the beginning of freedom. For whom he corrects, he loves. The same way a father, if he loves his son, corrects him. That's one of the problems. That's why there's a generation that's getting further and further and further away from being able to find God, love God, submit to God. There's a generation of rebellion. There's a generation of no respect for authority. There's a generation of entitlement. There's a generation that we're actually making it so difficult for children to find God if we don't discipline them. He says, if God loves us, he corrects us because he loves us. And a natural father is to correct his children because he loves them. I don't want you to go in that direction. I don't want you to end up like that. And the parent too, moms, especially if you're a single mom, you need to be serious about this. You don't realize how much you hurt your children by letting them do whatever they want, whenever they want. You make it so hard. Sometimes the authorities, the police have to get in and bust your kids for little things even, so that somebody can step into the picture to say, you're going the wrong way. Parents, we're supposed to be able to say that to our kids. You're going the wrong way. In love. There's a big difference when it's in love versus when it's in critical judgment. When I could say in love, you're going the wrong way. We need to deal with this.